Living on the road, my
welcome back
friend.
To the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning. Text line, try to get it in, 251-343-0106. If time permits, we'll try to respond to your text. Joining us now on the line, he is our returning champion. It's been a couple of weeks, but always a pleasure to bring on my good friend, State Senator Chris Elliott. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I am doing great. Great to be back with you. It was just been weird for a week or so, not being able to talk with you.
Yeah, so you haven't made anybody mad. I guess, like, avoiding this appearance and the water's calm a little bit, which is probably not something you're used to, huh?
It's not. So we'll see if we can mix it up today.
Yeah, well, first off, kind of your reaction. I mean, you are a supporter of Senator Grudger, and I'm telling you, you asked me this probably 3 weeks ago as soon as Reed steps aside, and I was just like, well, it looks like Senator Livingston has the votes. He's probably going to be the pro tem. Grudger would probably be preferable to a lot of us, but, you know, it's just but turned out not to be the case at all. Like, I was kind of snow jobbed a little bit on this one, but as the last like 2-3 weeks sort of evolved, I mean, it was clear Grudger was going to be the guy.
Well, I felt good about it really from the beginning, and was, you know, probably more vocal or the only vocal one about my support for Senator Grudger, who's a very good friend of mine personally, as well as I think being a good leader and just somebody who can build consensus, bring people together, and really is not afraid of tackling tough issues and tough problems. You know, just part of my problem and frustration with Montgomery is all too often it's about status quo. It's about, you know, just being there and not necessarily moving the ball down the field. And I think, you know, Senator Grudger's more capable of doing that than most. And so I'm excited about that. And of course, Senator Livingston is staying on as our majority leader. And that's a good thing. And I expect, you know, very little disruption with the caucus, with the exception of backfilling some of Senator Grudger's committee assignments. But I'm looking forward to getting to work and getting things done. And I think Senator Grudger will be a big part of that.
Yeah. So, here we are. I mean, it's not like, 2 years. Yeah. He'll be, this starts today. Like, you think we're going to see big noticeable changes when we gavel in next year?
Well, I think that you will see noticeable changes. And again, not to take anything away from Senator Reed, you know, the pro tem who's leaving us, who I have a real affinity for. It's just a different leadership style. And I think that what we are seeing is probably, you know, you've got somebody that's in the line of succession who's very powerful in Montgomery, who's going to be a fairly young guy. I mean, Garland's 50 years old and fairly new to the Senate, right? This is his second term in the Senate. We came in together, and he's a pretty hard charger. Usually carries a good book of legislation each year, and is known as a problem solver and known as somebody who is ready to get to work. So I think you'll see that, and more importantly, I think you'll see that for the next decade or better as Senator Grudger continues to, you know, to be a powerful guy in Montgomery.
Now, one of the knocks on him, and it was that he carried a gambling bill, but here they kind of, and I don't know if this is just sort of hindsight or whatever, it sounds to me like he was kind of forced into it, or it was the let me tell you, the listeners, in case you're not familiar with state Senate politics, and you're far more knowledgeable than I am, but my perception from the outside looking in, Senator Grudger is a very popular guy in the state house. Everybody likes him. You see him with Democrats. You see him drinking and smoking cigars with Democrats after session. You see him with Republicans. He is a Republican. He's a well liked guy. And what it's sort of kind of come to me to figure out, it's like the pro gamblers knew that he had a lot of clout in that building, that he was, if there was a guy that was ever going to carry a gambling bill, he was the perfect guy, and he was the peacemaker that to me was, I think, sort of what led him in that direction.
Yeah, and I think it's important. I mean, I was watching the Reagan movie last night and watching the relationship between Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill, and I think, you know, that's really indicative of how Senator Guzzer works, right? He's gonna fight the good conservative fight. He's gonna fight the principled fight. But at 6 o'clock, you know, hey, we're done, and we're gonna be friends, and we're gonna personally get along well with each other. And I think that's something that's missing now in Washington politics. Unfortunately, I think we still have that in Montgomery. I remember being in shock the first time I went to Montgomery, and I saw Pro Tem Senator Marsh sitting there and smoking a cigar with the minority leader, Senator Singleton. I was like, what is going on here? But I realized that that's how a lot of that stuff gets done and works out. And so Garland works really well across party lines, but also well within our caucus. Going back to the gambling discussion, you know, the interesting thing is you said carry that bill, but it still wasn't his bill, right? It was somebody else's bill that he was trying to work through, trying to fix, and trying to solve a problem. And it didn't get there. It almost made it. And that is just, again, indicative of that leadership where he will pick up something and try to fix it, even if it's got hair on it, right? Even if it may not be one of those things that everybody likes. He's not scared of that. He's not looking at something saying, is this going to pass? Or is this going to be something that I may be, you know, have a black mark because it didn't work? No, he tried to work on it and tried to fix it, and he got closer than anybody had. And so I give him a lot of credit for that. I ended up, you know, not being with him on that. I just didn't think it went where it needed to go. And there have been changes in the gambling industry in Alabama since then, which I think are for the good and may change how people feel on that. But him handling that just showed his willingness to roll up his sleeves on sticky issues and get in there and try to solve problems.
Let's talk about gambling. And yes, things have changed in the last couple of months. But Todd Stacey was on earlier, pointed this out. So with Reed departing, Senator Pro Tem Reed was a yes on gambling. That seat will be vacant at the end of the year. And the idea is the governor won't call the special election till it is vacant. You may not get Matt Woods, who I think is going to win that seat in Walker County, until April. And I think he is a no vote on gambling. Most of these new senators that have to run in elections are, you saw, up in the, old Schofield seat with Wes Kitchens and the way that went. But I think he's a no vote on gambling. So if there's going to be a gambling bill, Todd, and I was kind of talking about this. Yeah, you lost a yes vote, but you don't have the no vote yet until maybe later on in the session. Somebody's going to try to do gambling next year, it's going to have to come early, at least if you're looking at the math in the Senate, if you're going to flip a vote to get it on the ballot.
Yeah, and remember, it's still a constitutional amendment, so you still got that threshold to get to, and you're correct. I think there's going to be a change in how the Walker County, Jasper seat there votes. But I will tell you this. I think that, again, if you look at the Senate, and I know some of my colleagues that were in the room when we were working through this, a lot of the holdup was really the disagreements between the special interests and their little cut or their little take, the disagreements about whether or not we were expanding gambling or we were curtailing or controlling gambling. I was certainly more in the curtailing, controlling, and not expanding. And so, you know, this change in ownership in the Birmingham racetrack, I think, is the biggest change that has taken place in the gambling discussion in recent history. I don't think it has so much to do with really the members. It's just that the whole darn issue has changed to those of us that know where the opposition is, where the votes are, etc.
Well, and so I don't know where it would come from unless it was, I mean, maybe if it's Senator Albritton himself doing something, trying to get something through, but that's where it's going to be. I mean, like, you know, the PCI really does have the hand here and their guy, because that's the one vote that you need, and you don't have You don't have Reid's vote anymore for it, but that three-fifths vote, it would have to happen before the new guy sworn in.
Yeah, and I will tell you this, too. I think that Senator Albritton is going to work on this issue as long as he's in the legislature, and two, as long as he thinks that there's the possibility that he can get something done. I have not voted for his legislation in the past, mainly not because I didn't agree where he was coming from, but rather I didn't like what he had to add to the bill to get it to the point where it could pass the House. And so I think that if Senator Albritton comes up with something that that is more palatable, that doesn't expand gaming, that does truly control gaming and close it down, and limit it to the areas where it's already authorized, I think that people will be more interested, that other members will be more interested in taking this back up again.
And I know you're reluctant to talk about the House, but I mean, is it kind of a consensus that if something gets to where the point that it gets to the floor, that the House is already kind of a given, you think?
I would never suppose that the House is a given, and certainly would not want them to suppose that we were in the Senate. And I think one of the things that really was lacking in last year's legislation was a good working relationship between the two houses on what was going to be acceptable to each body, and to try to meld those together. And again, I think Senator Gutter tried to do that at the very end. I think if that had happened earlier, we may have had a different outcome. The Senate's just different than the House. And so it's one of those things that cooperation's got to happen early on, if it's going to happen. And it may not. But this change in ownership, again, I think is the biggest differential we've seen in the gambling debate in a long time.
We're joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program for just a few more minutes. Let's talk about health sciences in Demopolis. Rope-a-dope, whatever you want to call it, bait and switch. We've gone from $62 million to $80 million. This was a hard pill to swallow to begin with for you and your colleagues. And it got through. And I mean, what do you think the future is here? I mean, you got the money. Are you just going to give them another 20 mil and that be it? Or do you think, what do you think is going to happen here?
Well, I didn't vote for the thing the first time. And I know a number of my colleagues didn't. It doesn't make any sense to me. So I didn't vote for it the first time. I don't think it's a wise use of money. And I remember asking at the mic on the floor, what happens if this is not enough money? What happens if this doesn't work? And hearing the legislators on the other side, there's like, oh, this is going to work. I refuse to accept that. And it's just been ill-conceived from the very beginning. We have this problem in Alabama, whether it be with roads or projects like this or prisons or anything else, where we just completely ignore the fact that we're in a very highly inflationary market right now, and the costs are going to continue to go up. And this should not have been a priority last year, and it wasn't well thought out. The curriculum, the design all had significant issues with it. You can talk to some other senators who are very experienced in the healthcare field, like Senator Weaver, who tell you that. And then, at the end of the day, here it is costing another 30-something percent more, which is a huge increase. They should have seen that coming, and I'm not going to continue to chase a moving target on something like that and continue to waste taxpayers' money on a project like this.
Well, but you're right. And this is a trend throughout government. I mean, throughout state government, y'all are given a price. And then a few months later, and the prisons was the textbook example where things went up. It's not just inflation, Senator. I mean, these cost overruns are way, 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 way more than the rate of it. And inflation's high. But the rate of cost to the state of Alabama is like Zimbabwe or something.
Well, it's because of other screw-ups. It's because of screw-ups, and you look at the cost of transportation projects, for instance, right? Just this month, there were two more projects in Jefferson County that were pulled from letting because the advertisement wasn't done properly. And so here we are with these multi-million dollar projects that now have to be relet. We have to start all over the cost is absolutely going to go up. Why? Because we can't get out of our own way because we won't take a stand with the press association and say, hey, this newsprint stuff is the thing of the past. We've got to move on and update how we do things in Alabama because it's costing taxpayers a fortune.
Yeah, well, do you think, I mean, that you think that changes? I'm surprised whenever this comes up about this, the way we do legal notices and advertising, that it's kind of a sacred cow. But I don't know why. Like the Evergreen newspaper, the Conecuh County Current or whatever, is going to flex its muscle and come after an incumbent member. That kind of, there's sort of an irrational fear of the consequences here, it seems, throughout the chambers.
Times have changed. We have got to adapt and update with them. There's just no question about that. And we have real demonstrable costs to Alabama taxpayers that would not be there if we were not trying to continue a business model that the market has shunned, and government should not be propping up an old-fashioned business model. We should let the market work, be as efficient as we can possibly be in government, and move on.
Senator, got to leave you there. We're out of time, but always appreciate your appearances on this program. We'll do it again next week.
Glad to be back with you. Y'all have a great weekend.
State Senator Chris Elliott there, our returning champion. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
With the deck of 51, smoking cigarettes and watching Captain Kangaroo. Now don't tell me I've nothing to do. It's good to see you. I must go. I know.